Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found on page 733. And we read Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 6. If the words sound very familiar to you, it is because they are part of our liturgy in the service of prayer and preaching. It's one of the canticles that we regularly sing. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to the Lord, to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's found on page 1236. We read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke. It's on page 1118. And we read Luke chapter 1, selected verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad for this. Your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text for today is your gospel lesson, as well as, if you will, one of the main themes of our epistle lesson for today. The parable, usually identified as the parable of the prodigal son, but it's really not about the son who ran away. It's about the son who stayed. You get this from the opening context. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And as we reach the end of the parable, we see the father pleading with the older son. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." But we never find out if that older son, if you will, goes into the party or just stays mad. This is a parable about relationships. And what we're trying to accomplish in them. And if the truth be known, not everybody always has the same goal for relationships. Be it relationships at work, relationships in the home, relationships with extended family, or whatever kind of relationship you want to think about. And sometimes, have you noticed, that when you have a broken relationship and you're trying to resolve it, you can be as caring as you want to be, and if you will, argue till you're blue in the face, whatever point is the point of a dispute, and never seem to get anywhere. Why is that? Because not everybody in all relationships has the same goal. This is really brought home to me, 30, 35 years ago. This is an old story, folks. I was serving as a pastor in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. And we had a problem in the church. Worship services were going over on a regular basis. But it wasn't because the sermons were too long. No, the congregation had grown quite a bit. And even if I cut the sermon out entirely, it would still be over time, because the practice in that church was that the pastor would serve both the wine and the bread in the Lord's Supper. And communion was starting to take 25, 30 minutes. Well, when I came here, that the well-established practice of this congregation was that the elders assisted the pastor in serving communion. But not so in this congregation. They'd always done it with just the pastor. And so we visited about this problem amongst the board of elders and came to the conclusion it was time to let them start assisting me in serving communion. We went about it very carefully. We had a voters meeting on it. Prior to the voters meeting, we had 4 or 5 weeks about studying the issue of what elders are, what their role and function is in the church. They are to be the assistants of the pastor, both constitutionally and biblically. And after doing that, we took a vote at the voters' meeting, and there wasn't a single vote against doing it. So we proceeded. And the first Sunday, we instituted the elders assisting. Everybody came up to communion except for one fellow, who sat comfortably in his pew during communion the entire time. The next Sunday, he wasn't even in church. And we quickly found out that he was against this practice. His wife continued to come regularly and come up to communion, but he wasn't going to. So I did what a pastor needs to do. I went out and visited him. Oh, and by the way, he hadn't been in the Bible studies, and he hadn't attended the voters' meeting. And I visited with him. And the things that we shared and talked about, I shared and talked about with him. If you will, I argued till I was getting blue in the face. I was never able to change his mind. And from that day forward, he never attended church. Well, I took a call and went to the congregation of Davenport, where I was serving before I came here. And sometime later, I was at a district meeting or some kind of event, visiting with some of my former members at Mount Pleasant, who informed me of a very interesting phenomenon. The day after I left that church, that man was back in worship, taking communion from the elder's hand. He had a different agenda. What is our agenda in relationships? God wants our agenda to be the same as His in His relationship to us. God sent Jesus Christ into this world to reconcile us to himself. And it wasn't easy. God had to, if you will, set aside some other things that are rightfully his, at least for a time, in order that he might be merciful to us and reconcile us to himself. God is glorious. He deserves all glory, all honor, all praise for all eternity. But if God clung to that as the most important thing, we wouldn't be reconciled to him. No, instead, even though, as Paul writes in Philippians, Jesus Christ was God, he didn't count equality with God as something to be grasped, but instead humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. And he humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. He has received back his glory, but in order for us to be reconciled to God, for a while, that glory had to take second place. God is just. What is justice? Well, if somebody does something wrong, they have to be punished. What is justice? If you steal something, it has to be repaid. But God knew that we could not pay for our sins. In our world today, we see all kinds of injustices going on. And they don't appear to all be righted. The wicked get away with things. The righteous are often innocently victims. The world is topsy-turvy. It looks like God is not just. But again, in Romans, Paul tells us that in a sense, God set aside his righteousness for a moment, or his justice, in order that he might be both just and the justifier. Sins do have to be paid for, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to pay that price that we couldn't pay. In the end, those who receive Jesus Christ will have their sins paid for. Those who do not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior will pay for their sins themselves within an eternity in hell. God is just, but he also wanted to be the justifier. God is just, he is glorious, but he was willing to set aside those things, at least for a time, that he might be reconciled unto you and to me. Reconciliation. That is the ultimate goal of God. But is that our goal in our relationships? Not always. Sometimes it's more important just to prove to someone that we won the argument. Sometimes winning is more important than being reconciled. When it could be done this way or that way, it's got to be done our way, or else it's no way. In so many ways, we sometimes are just like that older son who had been treated well by his father, but he just couldn't stand the fact that that son who had run away, who had wasted all of his inheritance, not the brothers, was still loved by the father. His goal was not to be reconciled. He had another agenda for his life. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Christ Jesus came into this world to save the lost, to save those who couldn't save themselves, to save those who have rebelled against him and broken God's laws. He came to save you and me, and at great cost. That is the God whom we worship, the God whom we serve. And his goal is to make us like him, to restore us to that image that we lost when we fell into sin, to become like him in love, in forgiveness, and in being reconciled to one another. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.